Chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Well, we discussed yesterday evening chapter 10, but you're reading chapter 11. So we're going to do a very quick overview of chapter 11. Those of you that will recognize the voice of the narrator, this first section is Bir Krishna Maharaj. You'll detect his voice. So this is a little overview of chapter 11. The connection between chapter 10 is Krishna in chapter 10 has disclosed his being the source of everything, and as a result of his being the source of everything, one engages in his pure devotional service, and he discloses his opulences by which Krishna can be remembered. In chapter 11, Arjuna asks Krishna to show his universal form, Prabhupada says, so that others in the future who are imposters can be rejected because they cannot show their universal form.
To protect innocent people from imposters, Arjuna asked Krishna to prove his divinity by exhibiting his universal form, a form that anyone who claims to be God should be prepared to show. Krishna gives Arjuna divine vision by which to see the brilliant, glaring, unlimited universal form, which reveals in one place everything that ever was, or now is, or will be.
At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands.
Arjuna offers obeisances with folded hands and glorifies the Lord. Arjuna requests Krishna to withdraw his fearful form and show his original form. The Lord then exhibits his forearm form and at last his original two-arm form. On seeing the Lord's beautiful human-like form, Arjuna becomes pacified. Only one engaged in pure devotional service can see such a form. Arjuna offers obeisances with folded hands.
So this message is the bridge to the next chapter. Since it's only by pure devotional service that one can see such a form, then the natural question is, how to reach pure devotional service. So now we're ready for
Chapter 12, Devotional Service.
In Chapter 12, there are three sections, and I'm going to summarize the first section. Arjuna asks a very important question. The question that he asks, he has asked before. Question that he's going to ask, he's already asked two other times in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Bhagavad Gita scholars, what is the first verse of chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita? No, that's this one. That's this one. What's the essence of what Arjuna is asking? What does this go back? Chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has explained the position of the soul different than the body, Sankhya, distinguishing the soul from the body. Then he describes Buddhi Yoga, how to engage in activity in such a way that not just the philosophical idea, I'm not this body, is there, but practically in the world of activity through detachment from the fruits of work. So knowledge, buddhi, is being emphasized by Krishna. Then Krishna says, see the battlefield, Arjuna, go off into the battlefield and fight. So then Arjuna asks, if you say that knowledge is better than fruitive work, why are you asking me to engage in this ghastly warfare? So, Arjuna wants... What does Arjuna want? He wants to leave the battlefield, go to the forest, and become a renunciate. That's his idea. So he sees knowledge, detachment, go to the forest, leave behind duties. And Krishna is saying, knowledge, go to the battlefield. It seems to him to be contradiction because he's attached. His idea is knowledge and detachment means leaving worldly duties. But Krishna is saying, perform your duty in knowledge. I'm going to do a shorter version than I would want to do. So I'm going to go ahead and explain. In the beginning of the fifth chapter, the same question is asked. It's basically devotional service where Krishna is the object versus Gyan, where the impersonal Brahman is generally the object, which Arjuna is having difficulty taking the path of devotion, like many people in this world. And they like the path of becoming one with the Supreme. Now in chapter 12, he asks the same question, different language, very explicit. Arjuna wants to know which is better, the path of devotion or the path of knowledge that leads to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. Krishna's answer is going to be, the path of devotion is better. And there's two reasons why. It's natural, and the other reason is Krishna helps one on the path of devotion, and in the path of impersonal realization, it's one's own effort minus Krishna. Which is better, our own effort or our effort plus Krishna? Very easy. So Krishna says the path of devotion is better. So remember, this is Krishna's explaining about devotional service, so he's going to differentiate between devotional service and the path of knowledge that leads to impersonal Brahman.
Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect.
Very clear question, very explicit answer. Now listen carefully. Krishna also gives some credit to the impersonal path.
Lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth. By controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons, engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me.
But there's a problem.
For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. Progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied.
And everybody is embodied. So it's very natural for us to apply a conception of form to the Supreme because the Supreme has form, and because we have form, it's natural. The impersonal path is very unnatural. There's a second problem Krishna is now going to identify.
That those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation. Engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha. For them, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death.
In the case of devotional service, one gets Krishna's help to deliver one from material existence. Not the same for the impersonal feature. There are examples in the scripture, like this story of Ajamila, where the Vishnu Dutas came to intervene in a very difficult situation. Now we're ready for the next section of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has identified that devotional service is best. Are there degrees of perfection in devotional service? Yes. Krishna is going to describe the topmost stage of devotional service and then go down and then go back up again. So there's stages of devotional service.
Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus, you will live in me always, without a doubt.
Two things. Mind always absorbed in Krishna. Two, intelligence always engaged in Krishna. Result, one will live in Krishna always. But somebody might say, that's very nice, but I'm not there. I can't always be absorbed like that. Is there some opportunity for me to advance to that stage? So Krishna then gives the next opportunity down. This is the platform that we're working on, the next one.
My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me.
The practices of Bhakti Yoga help one awaken a desire to achieve that topmost stage. Somebody might say, I find the disciplines of Bhakti Yoga to be too difficult for me. What should I do? Then Krishna goes down one more stage.
If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage.
This is karma yoga. That is, someone may come to the temple and they may not be able with determination to keep all the practices. So they're given some service to do. They serve prasadam, they clean the floor, they do some simple thing. They do that for Krishna. This is the platform that it's being spoken of here. And we may also do similar services like this picture shows. What makes it transcendental is the principal angas of bhakti, like hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayers. This brings us to that higher stage. So how important is our chanting and hearing activity? Now supposing someone is unfortunate, they don't live near a temple, or they're not even so inclined to do this type of working for Krishna, what is their position?
If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated.
Consciousness. To consciously do things for Krishna. This is karma yoga. If someone doesn't have that consciousness, then these other two things. Detachment. Karma palatya. To use the fruits of their work for some good cause, and to become situated in an understanding of the self as a spirit soul. Jnana and Vairagya not yet fixed in devotion to Krishna. Supposing somebody is not so elevated, what should they do?
If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. By such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind.
So we just went back up from the... We'll show a yoga ladder in just a moment. I won't review it. The example of Ranti Dev is an example of an individual who was very detached. I won't tell the whole story because the train's going to leave without us if I do. But he won the favor of Brahma and Shiva by exhibiting his renunciation and still remained peaceful.
In the topmost stage of devotional service, one's consciousness is totally fixed on Krishna. A step lower is the practice of regulative devotional service. Lower than that is karma yoga, renouncing the fruits of action. Indirect processes for attaining the Supreme include meditation and cultivating knowledge.
Very nice. Makes it very easy to understand, yes? There's a result from each of the stages of bhakti. Many people, all they know is this lower stage, something to do with meditation, something to do with knowledge. That's okay. It leads to purification, a more peaceful state of mind, being detached from the fruits of their work and gradual elevation. In that state of purification, one may develop a desire to work for Krishna. And when one desires to work for Krishna, giving up the results of one's work unto Krishna, then devotion may start to awaken in the association of devotees. In our lives, we pass through these things. All of us, we've all done these things, and we see that in the lives of others. And so we like to add the practices of bhakti, starting with chanting of the holy name and taking Krishna prasad and seeing the deity form of the Lord and reading the message of Bhagavad Gita. These regulative devotional practices help to awaken a desire to attain Krishna. So what's the top stage that one... All of this is to help us reach mind always fixed upon Krishna. Intelligence always engaged in Krishna's activities. Surely in this condition, Krishna promises you will live with Him always without a doubt. We're almost done. We're ready for now the third section of chapter 12. But this is a very, very nice chapter, very nice section of this chapter. When one attains the stage of practice in devotional service and one's devotional mood becomes stronger, Krishna decorates His devotees with qualities. So when we do our devotional service, my dear devotees, we should try to do in a very quality way, because the quality will come from Krishna, but the quality pleases and attracts Krishna. Let's hear Krishna describe how He's attracted. It's the qualities of a devotee, just like with Sudama. It wasn't the wealth of Sudama, it wasn't the knowledge of Sudama. It was the quality of devotion that Sudama had that attracted Krishna to him. So here's some nice understanding. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. And then the other way, when it was not a devotee, has no good qualification. This is a paraphrase of Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Kinshan.
One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities,
These are some verses where the same idea that was just shown on the slide are expressed elsewhere. So, one who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, this is characteristic of a devotee, just like Narada. By converting Vagrari the hunter, he became very kind even to an ant.
Who does not think himself a proprietor, is free from false ego.
Example here is big king, King Prataparudra, taking the humble position of a sweeper of the street before Lord Jagannath, freed from false ego. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him.
Yes, and distress. He is tolerant, always satisfied.
These are qualities of a devotee. Because of happiness inside, what's going on outside, duality, happiness, distress, but remains always satisfied inside. This is the quality of a devotee.
Self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear.
Krishna is disclosing his feelings. This is very confidential. What is it that makes Krishna very happy, makes Krishna very pleased, makes Krishna feel, this person is very dear to me? He's disclosing all that. A devotee doesn't just want to be neutral. A devotee wants to please Krishna. This is the difference between impersonal and personal realization. Next quality Krishna is going to describe, exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj.
He for whom no one is put into difficulty.
Prahlad was put into difficulty, but Prahlad didn't put Hiranyakashipu into difficulty. Even he was terribly harassed. He wasn't, I want to get back at him. That wasn't Prahlad.
And who is not disturbed by anyone. Who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety. Is very dear to me.
Prahlad had the paw of Lord Nrisingadev patting his head. Next is the unflinching mood of wanting to serve, like Hanuman, very dear to Krishna.
My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result.
And finally,
those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal.
Krishna is the goal. Doesn't matter circumstance, favorable, unfavorable. Krishna is the goal. Pleasing Krishna is the goal. Here Krishna uses the word very twice. This resolute determination to always be in our relationship with Krishna, trying to please Him regardless of the circumstance, that is our happiness and our shelter. That's the characteristic of pure devotional service. And this is what Krishna feels towards such a devotee. If this can happen, that's perfection. That's the end of chapter 12. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.